Hi, and welcome to Black on the Mat, the space where culture, community, and yoga intersect through our lived experiences. We're your host. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Sasha. Join us on this journey to bring representation and shed light on often overlooked stories on the yoga mat.
We're creating an accessible roadmap into yoga for Black people, building a community in this predominantly white space.
And letting folks already into yoga know that we're here.
All right. Well, I need to let you know, you had me in my feels last time. I was very much stuck in resonating with the statements that you made just regarding like the weight that we bear as Black women and understanding how breath can really support us in this space. And I think that really rolls over well into what we're talking about today. The concept of self-care through yoga, right? Like, because it just brought up so many thoughts. And so I thank you for suggesting that we continue the conversation, because I think that that's a great idea.
Yeah. And so we are recording this obviously a little bit earlier, and we're in a time where for me, I'm realizing I need to get to the mat. Like I need to get to the mat. It's March Madness. And like I was telling you offline that I am a huge UNC fan, ride or die. But it, like when I was talking about on last week's episode, is that we often find ourselves in this sympathetic nervous system. We're like holding our breath. That's me watching games. UNC is like, has been doing okay, and hopefully we still make it all the way through. But it's like, I find myself, I love college basketball, but what I find in watching college basketball, I'm always anxious. I always feel like I'm like on edge to where I was supposed to be resting yesterday and I wasn't. It wasn't a self-care Sunday. It was an anxious, you know, going. It felt like literally at any point in time, like I could like have a heart attack because that's how stressed out I was. And for me, those are the times I'm like, I need to reset my nervous system. I need to get on the mat. Mm-hmm. Like, how does yoga help you kind of in your self-care program? Like, what is it? Like, how do you use yoga as self-care?
I know that I have, in this process, I have learned just so much about my body, like in my yoga journey and getting to know myself better. And it has allowed me to be more aware of when I am in that space. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I feel like I'm a person, I grind my teeth, I clench my jaw, my shoulders get tight, my back is tight. I clench fists, things like that. And it's like, okay, well, I could just be digging my nails into my palms, or when I realize that, I can stop now and I can take that breath and say, okay, I need to relax. I need to let this go. I don't know if this is a good thing or if it's just my level of pettiness that I have worked in to my yoga practice, but for me, I feel like if you manage to really upset me, you won, right? Like no matter who you is, no matter what this is, the situation beat me if I got so upset that I made poor decisions, that I didn't take care of myself, that I got angry, that I yelled, that I spilled over, that my sympathetic nervous system took over completely and I was not able to function the way I want to and get into the, get work towards the outcome I wanted, even though because everything doesn't work out the way you want. But if something happened that allowed me to do that, I lost and they won. And that is more, that concept is more off-putting to me than anything else. Like, ugh, how can I let somebody be bad to me and win? That's, oh, no. You can be bad to me, but that's not about me. And then you can I'll let that reflect back to you on yourself. And I can do that. And I can accept that. And my yoga practice absolutely helped bring me to that space, right? Because you brought it up before in the last episode, right? I know this isn't about me. I can stop. If I stop and I breathe and I reflect in whatever way, sometimes it does upset me and I got to take it all the way to the mat and take it to my journal, like we talked about with Faith, right? Like sometimes it does take all those steps to happen, but I still didn't wild out. I still didn't create a bad situation for myself. I didn't do something that was going to cause now me to look bad or reflect poorly on my business or anything like that, that could have happened. So I can actually make that choice. Yoga gives me the opportunity to make that choice. At least I think.
Well, I think it does. And I think a lot of our listeners would resonate with what you're saying, because sometimes we react.
Mm-hmm.
We react without thinking. I think yoga helps you get into, it helps you create a pattern, a new pattern that lets you respond, lets you pause, it lets you breathe, it lets you connect with yourself before you start reacting. But at the same time, just because you do yoga doesn't mean you ain't gonna get these words. Just because you do right. yoga doesn't mean you're like, I'm healed. Oh my God, look at me. I'm never gonna, namaste everyone. You slapped me in my face, namaste. I'm still gonna be okay. No, you gonna get this. Mm-hmm. You are going to get this. I just think it helps us show up more in our authentic ways than in ways that feels just automatic triggers.
Right. So in a space like you were in, you know, over the weekend, or I mean, I guess in any situation where you feel like stopping and breathing is a good idea, what pranayama or meditation technique do you find like the most effective for you in those moments?
So I never thought I'd be this girl, but I am this girl. I chant. So a huge part of Kundalini yoga is chanting. And I used to feel funny about chanting because I'm like, I don't know what these words are saying. Like, what am I? Am I chanting a spell? I started looking up and understanding what the words mean. But even before, it didn't matter because whatever, even though I don't know what I'm chanting some days, I'm like, I just feel better with whatever it's saying. I'm like, I just feel better. So chanting has been really good. I'm a girl who will chant, you know, Sata Nama, which is just the cycle of life. You know, Satna means truth is my identity, chanting that. Sohung, I am. Sohung is one of those ones where I think about it and I'm like, I had a good friend who was like, I am is a complete sentence. So often we're trying to put, I am a woman, I am an owner, I am a sister, I am a lover, I am, you know, gifted. I am, period. I am, period. And so I find some of those things help. If I'm doing actual pranayama, long deep breathing is a good one for me. Breath of fire is a good one. Kind of gets me out of the noise. I talked about Siddhali breathing is another one that I love doing. And then I love doing one that where you sniff four times in and you sniff four times out. So it just helps you again, slow the breath down even more. So what about you?
I think I kind of along the lines, I feel like chanting and mantras are almost the same thing. It just depends on like, you know, the way it's presented. But I do believe in repeating mantras to myself, especially I'll say beginning my practice more. That was a huge thing because it's like you kind of feel like you don't know what to say mm-hmm. or you don't know what to do. And it's like if you have a mantra, if you have something to believe in and to ground yourself in. It allows you to take that space and have and just come back to where you were supposed to be or where you wanted to be in that, right? Like, so if you know, for big ones for me, mantras that I just go back to when I'm worried about like myself, when I get caught up in a more physical or like expectation space, I'm like, I am beautiful. Mm-hmm. I am beautiful and I deserve to be here or something along those lines, depending on how I'm feeling at the time. I have mantra cards on my website that because I do believe in them, because I feel like this is something, it's nice to look at this nice, pretty statement and say, yes, this makes me feel good. And I can repeat this back to myself and I can instill those words within me. Cause I feel like a part of to me, especially with my clients and working on confidence and things like that, the biggest problem is questioning. You question yourself. So not only do you have all of these responsibilities, but you're still like, I have all these responsibilities and I'm not even sure if I can do it. But we know also you have all these responsibilities because someone gave them to you, right? So if they didn't think you could do it, they wouldn't give it to you. And if you didn't think you would do it, you probably wouldn't take it on. Now, should you take it on is people pleasing. That's a different question. But can you do it? Are you physically capable? Are you mentally aware enough to do it? Yeah, you can get this done, right? So like getting those reminders and those spaces, and again, stopping and taking a breath. I think that's the biggest one too, just the very first. It doesn't have to be a style of breath. It doesn't have to be a type of breath. I enjoy box breathing and things like that, but just stop 30 seconds, inhale, exhale, don't do anything else. I don't have a choice. I can't be frustrated about this if I'm trying to count that time. I can't be focused on this if I'm trying to make the inhales and exhales happen and that's my actual focus, right? Like we said in the last episode, we breathe all the time, but do you breathe on purpose? Do you breathe intentionally? Like, so stopping and taking that and then saying something that is reassuring helps me 9.5 times out of 10.
Well, you're able to embody it. And that's one of the things I've learned through my training is that when you can feel what you're saying, not just like, oh, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be rich as Oprah. I can say that, but I don't feel that. It's not going to resonate the same. It's not going to hit the same. But when you can find that mantra for yourself that you can physically feel like, ah, I can feel it in my heart. That's when it starts working on an energetic level. Like sometimes I'll tell my clients, I'm like, if you don't know these mantras, just yell, you know, just sing to yourself, heal, 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 or love, 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 or I am enough. I've always been enough. Whatever it is for you, I find that that helps. But one of the things you said reminded me of like a childhood situation where, I don't know, there's a commercial with this, I think it was a dog, and it was about fires, and it was stop, drop, and roll. And it's like, literally, sometimes when you're in these moments, you just need to stop, drop into yourself, and roll into allowing the situation to happen. I find through meditation, I find through certain practices that I do, yoga practices, it helps me stop the noise, drop into my body, and allow myself to roll and observe what's going on. And that's why I feel like yoga for me is more than a physical practice. It's always been more than a physical practice. I think when I first started, it was a physical practice, which was like, this is horrible. I'd rather just take a dance class. But when it became a part of my self-care routine, I'm like, oh, this helps me process my emotions in a healthier way.
Mm. Absolutely. And the fact that it does allow us to process those emotions, this allows us to care for ourselves.
And others.
Self-care.
And others. Because if you can't care for yourself and you're not taking care of yourself, you can't be there for anyone. Not in a productive way. Not in a healthy way. It's a win-win. It's a total win-win.
Yeah. Which is interesting because, you know, we came across it in our last episode talking about breath, but that's exactly what, that this is your mission, that you want to give people that breath, that you want to help provide spaces for women that need to figure that out in their life, which is funny that right now we're standing here at self-care and this is what I do, that we're standing here right at my mission statement, right? To allow women to see where they have been pouring out and allow them to fill themselves up so they can pour from a full cup instead of an overflowing one instead of an empty one. We allow ourselves to empty out to the point where we can't breathe. We don't know what ourselves like actually like, want, feel like on purpose, any of those things. And then we get to the space where it's like, okay, so everything's stressful. I hate everyone, including me. Nothing even tastes good anymore. I don't like to go places. I'm depressed. What could I possibly do? Versus coming back to ourselves. Yes. The concept of actually just coming back to ourselves gives us that space where we can reflect and we can be more open and say, okay, you know what? I'm saying all this, but this is what I need. And as we just said, a lot of times that is just coming back to the mat. That's just spending time by yourself, moving and being aware of your movements, your breath cycles, your heartbeat, right? Your blood pressure, allowing yourself to find those spaces. It's allowing you to get to that space of clarity so that you can fix the problem, which I think, you know, again, when we talk, when we shift it to the concept of people pleasing or of delaying your own gratification or things like that, that's more mental. It can be worked out on the mat, but now we're talking about things where you have to process this more. Are you allowing yourself to have that space, or are you fighting it so that you don't have to deal with it?
Well, I think people fight it. I think even within the yoga practice, especially with the practice that I do, that I feel like you are going through these points where you are, these emotions are coming up for you to process. And people are like, no, nope, just here for the physical exercise. No, nope, wasn't ready. I'm not gonna let this emotion come through. How do you help your clients get to the point to recognizing that yoga is self-care?
One activity that I've done with almost all of my clients, and I'll say, especially when I have they're doing coaching with me, right? So if you come to me for yoga, obviously you come to me for yoga, straightforward. But in confidence coaching and talking to people about how they actually operate and getting to know themselves better, when I also include yoga practices into that cycle, and when we do the yoga practice, I always ask them after, how does your body feel? How does your mind feel? What do you really want to do in this moment? And after yoga, people are always like, oh, I feel so good. I feel so relaxed. I feel like you might be sweaty or something like that, but I feel so good. And I'm not, I'm about to get a little snack or something. I don't want to eat anything too heavy. And then I'm going to go do this. And they're ready to complete tasks on the list, right? Yeah. And not in in a begrudging, I have to get this done way, but in I have the space in my life to go do this now without feeling like having to fold laundry is torture, mm-hmm. And so I'm always aware of that. And I always try to get people to remember that space, because then when we have the heavier conversations and we're talking, then I'm like, okay, so does talking to this person or working with this person make you feel like before yoga or after yoga? And if you can delineate between those two spaces, you can really make a lot of amazing decisions in your life about who needs to be involved in it, what you need to do, and understanding since I do feel like this after yoga, I can't do anything about my whole ass job, but what I can do is put yoga in my schedule after work. And then from 6 to 7, I do this. And then my whole evening, I feel fantastic. Dealing with this person at work, they're stressful, but I realize that they need some yoga in their life, and that's okay. They ain't gonna get it, but I'm gonna take mine. And understanding the role that it does play and the way it actually makes you feel, regardless of who says what about anything, allows you to see how much this is self-care for you, I think.
No, I hear you. I feel like for me, I do a lot kind of what Beth was talking about. I like to infuse. I like to think of myself as infusing, you have water and you put some cucumbers, whatever, you're infusing with the flavor. I infuse the practice with moments of self-care. So I will ask, I'll start off with my talk, but through the practice, I'll start asking questions. I'm like, what is your heart saying to you right now? Or, I'll ask different, self-care prompts to get people to start thinking. Whether they choose to or not, it's a different ballgame, but I'm at least inviting them to have this not just be a physical or a breathing exercise or just a meditative exercise, but an exercise to process some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think yoga for me has been a safe space for people to work on, investigating that internal narrative, releasing what is holding us back. Mm-hmm. But it's more importantly, it also helps us realign with our energy, which helps us to align with our authentic desires.
Mm.
And that's how I see the practice. And that's how I try to move through it. So sometimes I'm like, am I sneaking this in slightly? And I'm like, I feel like yes, to some degree. I'm like, I'm not, I'm transparent about it. But it's like, if you're going to come to one of my classes or work with me one-on-one, you're going to get the self-care feeling.
Yes. No, absolutely. And so that And that is one huge obstacle, right? Like denying it and pushing it off to the side, not wanting to deal with it. So yeah, when you get in those one-on-one type of situations or those direct teaching situations, it's gonna happen. It's gonna get in your face. What are other obstacles that you have had to help your clients and the people working with you overcome when it comes to including yoga as a self-care practice?
I think for me, I've noticed, and it's something I've experienced myself, is like, it's that concept of time. Oh, I ain't got time. I don't have time for this. Now, I want to have time for it, but I have all these other things I need to do. I don't have enough time in the day. I don't have the capacity. I think that misconception of time, that there's someone else controlling your time, is the biggest barrier of using yoga self-care and self-care in general. And then for me, it's like helping people realize that they are the master of their time. I mean,
Absolutely.
talking to you earlier, I was like, oh, I'm running late, da, da, da. I chose to run late. I feel bad about it, but I'm able to be in a space to where I can recognize that I needed a little bit of extra time for myself to breathe into the body before rushing into something. Versus me saying, oh my God, I'm late. The universe is messing with me and all these different things. And I can't get all these things done because I ain't got time. I can't take care of myself because I ain't got time. I was the person who said that. I have all these other people depending on me. I don't have time. And when you're able to realize that's a misconception and that's holding you back from that self-care, I don't have time for yoga. Yoga could be doing a couple of breaths that we talked about last week. Yoga could be doing a couple stretches. Yoga could be shaking. Yoga could be all these different things. We all have time. It's a choice.
Right.
What about you?
I think time is a big one, a huge one that I see all the time, which is why I always tell people slide a 15-minute, 10-minute practice in, do something to add it to your routine. But I would honestly say the biggest one is ego. I see that as a thing because it's not, and I feel like those two things are tied together. It's not that you don't have the time to put in a couple minutes for your own self-care. It's that I don't have an hour to go to Lululemon and buy the $200 pants and then sign up for their 90-minute immersive practice class with that I can't do any of the moves in. And every time I go, I end up feeling stressed and emotional about it. And then I'm not good enough. And then I feel fat because then I had all of that was ego. Nobody told you to do any of that. You could have done in your underwear, open up something. If you're gonna scroll in the morning, open up a YouTube stretch, floor stretch. I personally have a 20-minute floor stretch. Do it in your bed, because that's, let me tell you how bed yoga is how I do a lot of my yoga nowadays, especially first thing in the morning. I'm not getting out there. It's cold in the morning right here. And let me push this pillow right off the bed. I'll pick it up. Don't worry.
I hit Clyde in the face, but it's fine. He'll get this exercise
He's
too.
gone. He leaves for work real early. It's okay. It's me in an X on the bed by myself. And just taking that space, right? This isn't about what my practice looks like. This isn't about me having on yoga clothes. This isn't about me taking a certain amount of time. This isn't about me posting the most beautiful deep split that where my hands and my feet are everywhere. None of that. None of that matters when we're actually talking about my practice, right? And so that's none of it matters when you're actually talking about a genuine yoga practice. Did you get to the spaces in your body that feel good? Did you try to find some evenness, some alignment in that space? Did you listen to your body and its needs in that moment and create the space in it to do what you needed to do in the day? All of those things are extremely important as far as letting your body, your practice work for you and using it as self-care. You telling yourself all the things that you need before you get there, none of it is helping your self-care practice or your yoga practice.
No, I totally agree with you. I love the fact that you're talking about the fact that we get in our own way. what I call the shoulds. I should be doing this. It should be looking like this. You do a practice in 3 minutes, 1 minute. And it all of the little things you do add up to taking care of yourself. But it's, I won't lie, I feel like our society teaches us to be in that ego. Our society teaches us to hustle hard, do as much as you can, and self-care is selfish. Self-care is not necessary. It's optional. Self-care is for others who have money. When self-care is how you breathe, how you survive, how you live hella well versus living in survival mode. I got tired of being in survival mode. In all honesty, yoga found me when I was like, I'm this life right here. This ain't it. This ain't what it's supposed to be. And I'm using the word ain't because sometimes I use the word ain't, but it's not what it's supposed to be. It just felt like there's got to be something better. There's God, like I was not, I can't believe God, universe, whoever you want to call it, put me on this world to feel like life sucks all the time and I never have a breath. I never feel good. I have all these physical and emotional things going on. And when I found yoga, when I didn't expect to find it, it was like, oh wait, hey, sis, try this thing. It's gonna be really good for you. Just try it. Be open. And
Absolutely.
it is my favorite form of self-care. Well, it's one of my favorite forms of self-care. I was just like, I do like sex too, but hey,
I was thinking plane tickets to extravagant places.
Oh yeah, that too. That
That's
too. That
freaking
too.
me.
Travel, yes.
But no, all of it. And the thing is that it's still addressing your needs. If we don't get to reflect to ourselves, if we don't get to take that time to evaluate what it is we need, we honestly get caught up doing things that we don't. I know plenty of women that have come to me and have had conversations with it. I've gone live about it, about doing self-care practices for no reason, doing it with no intention or with no connection, right? And so now you're sitting here, you got your bubble bath and your book and your bottle of wine, and you don't like wine and you don't like to read and you hate bubbles.
But they're doing it because they think they should, because that's what Instagram told them. That's what, Karen, the wellness guru, said, this is what you need to do, and you're going to feel self-care. Self-care is like a custom pair of jeans. It's got to fit you right, and it has to be what works for you. Your version of self-care is going to be different than mine, and ours is going to be different than everyone else's. But when you get in this mindset that it has to look a certain way, it has to be in this box only, that's not going to be self-care. That's called I'm caring like someone else.
And it's just it's going through the motions, right? So you're experiencing it, but you're not actually enjoying it. There's no reason for you to be having this experience. And I think that like that's this feeling that we can all resonate with like I shouldn't have done this, especially at a certain age. I shouldn't have come to this. I should not have left my house. I should have stayed home for this. I should that feeling, right? If you feel that way when you're doing your self-care things, then I don't know who you're caring for, but it's not yourself.
You're not. But
That's
even
it.
looking, but thinking about it as another way, even looking at it from the yogic perspective, I think you do the same. I use different yogic practices for different self-care. Whether I'm in the Kundalini and I'm like, say I'm angry and mad about something, I have certain things that I do to work out those emotions. I will maybe use yoga nidra for working out some other things. If I just feel like I just need a moment to really get some clarity, or I need a moment just to pause, or yin yoga, restorative yoga, when I just need to stretch it out.
Right. There's appropriate times for appropriate actions and appropriate spaces and things like that. I don't necessarily love like a, I even though I used to teach it, I don't love going to power classes like that anymore. But if it's like, you know what, to me, it's the same as people that need to take a spin class to get it all out and like work the energy out and whatever. I feel that way about a vinyasa power class. Like I'm really holding it. My muscles are really working. I'm really sweating. Like this is a real practice. This is how I feel. And not saying that any other type of practice isn't a real practice, but this is the equivalent for me, for my body, right? If I want something slower and I want to be more restorative and I want to take more time to just breathe into poses, I'm going to do a yin practice instead. Or just a nidra or meditation or something that is just going to talk to me so I can get these voices in my brain to shut up for a little bit. Cause they're not in a good mood. then I got ticker tape running and it's annoying me. It's driving me crazy. I need to actually just stop. So somebody else's voice, even I've done my own yoga classes as a recording, which I usually do test them out before I put them up to make sure that I didn't say anything too crazy. Not crazy for me, but crazy, like confusing. So if I test it out and I do the practice, okay, this works. I got here. This feels good. Great. I didn't have to think about it actively. And I think that that's one of those ways that this is self-care. Somebody telling you, giving you instructions, guiding you when you are the person used to making all the decisions and talking through all the things and figuring it out and doing all the risk analysis and all that stuff. It's like, okay. I don't have to do any of that. I have to show up. I have to do what the person said to do. Mountain pose. I'm here.
That's the point of letting go. It helps you let go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So do you have any quick tips to help people include yoga as part of their self-care practice?
In the great words of Michael Jordan, just do it. Or is that Nike? It's one of the two.
It is the Nike tagline. Yes.
Clearly, I'm a Nike fan. I was like, was it Michael Jordan? Was it Nike? I feel like it was one of the two. But seriously, what are some quick tips? I think for me, like you were talking about, just doing some stretches in the morning. I have like a practice that I do. It's the wake up series in Kundalini Yoga. And it wakes you up. You're doing this stretch pose, which is a lot. I actually don't really like stretch pose, but after I do it, I'm like, oh, I feel so good. Cause it connects to your navel center. You're doing some breath of fire that wakes the body up. I find doing some stuff at night. So there's different things that I do to kind of just start it off, but like where you can get it in, get it in. I think my first tip behind just do it is just do it and don't be worried about it has to look a certain way. It Absolutely. Doesn't have to be a certain way. What about you?
I would say honestly the same, right? Like take the smallest steps, tiny steps, baby steps, crawling steps, whatever. It's all moving forward. Right? And so if you can take the ego out of it and you can identify with that as a place where you are, I'm just trying it. I'm trying this out. Did this make me feel amazing? No. Did it make me feel kind of good? Okay. Yes. Great. Where, how can I keep going in that direction? And just like I said about finding a teacher or finding a studio, take your time and allow yourself to be wrong or find more space in the kind of practice and the kind of teacher and whatever you want to do, right? I love bubble baths and yoga and journaling and candles. And like, that's me. That's literally Sasha, right? And if you're like, oh, I want to be like Sasha and be all in tune with myself, I need to take a bubble bath. And you hate bubble baths, it's never going to work. It's never going to work, right? And that's time consuming and you're going to be annoyed and it's frustrating. Right. You got to clean the bathtub. And like, that's, you definitely, you need your version of a Clyde for that because that helps. That's something else. Listen, okay, and but if you want the bubble bath, somebody needs to clean the tub. And so the work that comes along with what you think you want may not be real, right? May not be really what you want. So make sure you're actually doing the thing that feels worth it, feels valuable. And then that 5 minutes, if you really do get to the space where you know what you're doing for 5 minutes and you like it, you're gonna want 10 and 15 and an hour. And like, you know, you're going to figure out the right amount for you. Cause I can't say that that means that now you're going to have to increase forever. You might get to that 90 minute class to try it out. And you're like, God damn, I am exhausted. And that was too much. I need to go back to my 60-minute sessions. That's it. You'll find that space, but you have to allow yourself to find it.
And being open, and what you were talking about right there, something I like to say to my students is like, nothing's supposed to happen and nothing's not supposed to happen. Mm. Because we get in things like, okay, this 90-minute class is definitely going to make the difference, or this, you know, 2 minutes definitely not going to do it. Get rid of the expectations. Mm-hmm. And I love how you were talking about how, you know, sometimes you get from, you know, 5 minutes to 60 minutes to 90 minutes. Like, I love a good 90-minute class. I don't always allow myself this space. And again, mm-hmm. that's me playing with time and my own issues with time. But, you know, 90 minutes is just as good as 3 minutes if it's the right practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm speaking from experience there, because I don't like 90-minute classes.
Well, most of our classes are 90 minutes. So I'm like, I love a good 90-minute class. But I could, especially if it's like also in that 90 minutes, you have a longer Shavasana. Our Shavasanas are usually like around 8 minutes. You have this long meditation. Sometimes the meditation be 31 minutes. I don't always like the 31-minute meditations, because I'm like, when is this going to end? Because our meditations aren't just sitting here like, namaste, we're cool. No, meditations be like, we're here. I'm like, my hands are hurting. I'm like, I'm holding my breath in and out. I'm like, this is a lot. And afterwards you're like, then you pause and you're like, oh, I feel that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that feels good.
And that I think that's a thing too. You do it even if it feels like too much time or daunting or whatever. Then once you do it, you're still like, oh, yeah, okay, that was the one. And like, that's fine. But if you don't get that experience, you don't get that feeling, allow yourself to change it. Allow yourself to go in a different direction. And if you feel like, well, I like it, it's just I feel tired because it was my first time trying, identify that as a space for yourself too, right? Yeah, you're tired because it's your first time trying. You're actively learning new things, right? Then your brain is working, your body is working. If it feels like your body wants to say yes, but it's just feeling new and different, that's an okay space to be into.
Yeah. Yoga has the ability to help you take better care of yourself if you use it. But if you never do anything, it is not a tool that's going to work for you.
How?
How, Sway? How?
All right. Yes. On that note, I think that brings us to the end here. I would love to know your suggestions. Please leave them in the comments. How would you, or have you, instilled yoga as a part of your self-care practices? What things did you add? What suggestions do you have? Remember, everything is not for everybody, but if it can help, might as well share it.
One is the magic number. And I'm quoting everyone today. All right. On that note, thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
I'm going to do my yoga right now.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. In these clothes. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Ciao.
Thank you for joining us today on Black on the Mat.
Let's continue connecting, sharing our stories, and sowing the benefits of having a yoga practice in your life.
Subscribe to Black on the Mat on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
I'm Sasha, and you can find me at Thick Thigh Yoga on all social media platforms and thickthighyoga.com.
I'm Danielle, and you can find me at HelloWell with Danielle on IG, YouTube, and HelloWellWithDanielle.com.